Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand toward Brother Paul. Let's just pray for God to give him what he needs right now. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we believe you. We trust you, God. Hallelujah. We know you're able, God. Hallelujah. God, touch him right now, Lord. Move, God, right now. Touch him in his heart and his mind and the battle that's going on, God, the struggle, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Your sweet love, mighty God, your sweet love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, if we just take God for his word, do you know God's obligated to keep his word? Do you know that? He is obligated to keep his word. Hallelujah. Because his word is true. And his word tells us if we just come to him. Amen. Brother Douglas made a comment the other Wednesday night in his testimony. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, give us more faith. Give us more faith. But the Bible says God has already given every man deep measure of faith. And that if we have faith just as a grain of a mustard seed, not the mustard seed, but the grain that's smaller, that's right inside me. If we have that, we can speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed. Hallelujah. And I'm just believing that right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask, go ahead. Yes, go ahead. I tell you what, my expectation right now is building body strong. God's going to fix to be something powerful in the rest of the service. Hallelujah. I feel that expectation in my heart right now. Hallelujah. Ronnie, come on right now, brother. Dismissed for the children's church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone. Great to see everyone in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Those watching on the live stream, we greet you in the name of the Lord. Should there still be a live stream going on after that little joke power surge we had? Hopefully it'll come on back up. We should be working hard to get that going. Appreciate the Lord. Go ahead and put the devil in his place and keep getting kicked in the mouth and trying to. This house is consecrated for the Lord Jesus Christ, but the devil is still going to make his attempts. He is still going to make his attempts. Him and his little minions come running around trying to mess everything up, but it did not happen. It did not work. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. That's right. That's right. It's all good. We're going to get into the Word today. Y'all just bear with us. It's really a little bit early this morning. It just comes up every now and then. So just bear with us on that. We're going to go to the book of Acts for our opening text today. Acts chapter 10. We will read 1 through 8 now. Tomorrow sundown begins Passover, and I have been doing some studying and reading on Passover. I feel like it's still relevant today. Passover, the Exodus. That was a type of shadow of Jesus Christ coming as they left Egypt. And so I had been doing some praying study on that. And I thought that was the direction I was going to go. But as I was doing just other reading everything, the Lord really tugged me and pulled me with this scripture here that we're going to be going with today. Acts chapter 10, it's about Cornelius. Everybody remember Cornelius? Gentile, where the doors were open to the Gentiles to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. So we'll just get on into it here. Acts 10, beginning at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people. Now bear in mind that he's not a Jew. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. And he prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision angel of God coming in and saying, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when they had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. And I want to draw our attention back to the verse that the Lord just really would not let go for me, is verse 4. And when he observed him, talking about Cornelius observing the angel of the Lord, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you praise and glory for everything. I thank you for your presence within this service. I thank you for what you've already done and what you are going to do in just the next few moments ahead. Hallelujah. I declare freedom in the name of the Lord today.
I declare victory in the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. For each prayer that has went up. Hallelujah. For each healing that has already been made to fruition, Lord. It has been made whole. Those in the house who need a healing, whether it be in body and spirit, or whether they need a healing of salvation. There's different types of the healing that we all need from time to time, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have already done this. Hallelujah. In this place, I just give you praise and glory for all things. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone say, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So, the subject for our lesson today is selfless. Selfless. And you could just kind of look at the selfless word there and kind of split it. Selfless. Matter of fact, let's just say that. Let's everyone just say, myself less. That's how we need to be. We need to be less about ourselves and more about Jesus. John the Baptist said himself that he must decrease, but he must increase. Talking about Jesus. Jesus had to increase. And that's what it's all about. That's what the kingdom of God is about. We have got to be less about ourselves and more about him. And this verse here about your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Think about that a minute. Now, he was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, but yet he was a devout man. And he prayed continually, and he was generous to people around him, to those who are poor, and just everyone. He had the means and ability to be generous, and he was. He was not accepted into the salvation of the kingdom of God from the foremost, because we know salvation was of the Jews. Have you ever felt like you have been someone who's just not been accepted, not been let in? You felt like you've been shut out? You felt like you haven't been included? This is literally how Cornelius was, but yet it did not affect him as a man and how he would pray to God and help others. He believed God. Hallelujah. Scripture said he feared God, so he was obedient to God. And so, with Sister Shelley had mentioned how today is Sister Mary's birthday. And I did not think of it at the time. I didn't plan this like that or anything. But she come to mind when I thought of this verse. You know, and so it just happened to be happenstance that it worked out that way. And because today is her birthday, and Shelley shared with us yesterday, that Sister Mary's favorite food was pizza, corn dogs, and corn chips. And so I submit to everyone today, where'd Sister Wanda go? She done step out? Well, I can't pick on her like I was about to. But instead of her, I'll do everyone else. Y'all ain't going to Old Charlie's or Olive Garden after you eat. You're going to go get pizza somewhere in honor of Sister Mary. Pizza, corn dogs, and corn chips. That's what today's lunch is after service, all right? Hallelujah. And so that's what they're going to get together and have. And so that is like a memorial to them, which a memorial is that of which a memory of any person or thing is preserved, a remembrance. And so that's what we must do. We remember and we preserve. And Cornelius was not a Jew. However, he followed some Jewish customs. Praying at the hour of prayer, which was 3 p.m., is a custom in Jerusalem. That was the hour of prayer. He did it at his house. He also fasted, which was done by devout Jews. Caesarea was about 30 miles north of Joppa. And both cities were right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Joppa today is called Jaffa, a suburb of Tel Aviv. You probably heard of Tel Aviv, Israel. And Caesarea is 76 miles from Jerusalem. But Cornelius prayed and fasted, did many things like the Jewish people would do because he believed God, he feared God, he wanted to honor God. He was a commander in the Italian regiment of the Roman military, well respected by the Jewish community. And this is something very interesting, that he was well respected by the Jewish community, because, you know, back in that day, they could not stand one another. Jews were all about Jews. The Samaritans, who were not a full bloodline of Jew, they called them dirty dogs. They wasn't in the full bloodline. So this was interesting that he was so well-respected. Speaks volumes of the man that he was so well-respected. And so he lived his life in a manner that was pleasing to God, even though Gentiles were not yet accepted into the kingdom of God. Nonetheless, his prayers and alms had gone up for a memorial to God. And that's what I want to talk to us about today, is our prayer life and our life, the things that we do, how much we help others. Is it enough that it goes up as a memorial or a remembrance to God? Now, God knows everything about everybody at all times, knows every hair on your head or lack thereof. He knows it all. But the scripture said your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. How many want to have that kind of testimony said to them? This, an angel of the Lord said this to Cornelius. That lets you know that he spent much time in prayer, and he went above and beyond helping others when he could. He was a Roman. He could have been as mean as the rest of them. He could have been as mean and dirty and ugly as the rest of them, but he did not do that. And so then, as Scripture later goes on, it talks about how Peter saw what looked like a sheep coming down with the four-legged animals and beasts and birds in the air. He saw it three times. Jesus said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter says, "No, Lord, nothing common or unclean has ever come into my mouth. I'll not do that." But that happened three times, but this was Peter's vision as he was in Joppa, which this is interesting, I find, too, the Scripture. Now, maybe it was just Scripture pointing out the difference between the two Simon, but it was Simon, surnamed Peter, and Simon, the tanner. The tanner is like as a leather maker. They make leather goods and force comes from animals. You know, and back in the bit of the law, they were not to touch clean or unclean dead animals. Corpses. They're not allowed to touch them. So I find it interesting, too. Maybe it was just to point out the difference between the two Simon, or maybe it was, why was Simon necessarily in this man's house? He was just preaching. We know he was going around preaching the word, but I thought it just interesting that who he was with and then the vision that he received. I can't add anything else to that other than, to me, it's very interesting that the word points that out. And so then Peter goes with them because that's what was required of the Lord. He had a vision that the Lord told him to go to Joppa and find this man. So he went with the three men that came. And Peter talked to Cornelius and everyone that was in the household, even his household. Cornelius was a man, a devout man that made sure that even his household and the soldiers around him, everyone knew how he was. I think he let everybody know what was going to fly and what wasn't going to fly, to be honest with you, just to put it in some layman's terms. I believe he was a devout man of God, and there was going to be some standards held. So when they were all together in the house, and Peter comes in and tells them that, it's unlawful for a Jewish man to visit with them and come into their house, but he did it because the Holy Spirit told him to. And so Peter begins to preach to them Jesus Christ and the fact that he was... He died on that cross and resurrected again. The next thing you know, the Holy Spirit falls down on all of them. And then Peter's like, "All right, Jesus." And he says, "Can anyone forbid water that these may have been baptized?" Because the Holy Spirit had fallen on them. They began to speak with other tongues just like they had done on the day of Pentecost. And so now that just opened everybody's eyes that now the Gentiles are accepted into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's not only for the Jews no more, but it's also for the Gentiles and for everyone. And as I told you earlier that I was kind of doing some Passover study and reading, and we still have some of the True Life Bread books out there that Pastor Nathan Lowe did, and I was doing some study and reading that, and as he put it in the book, One True Bread, I think is actually what it's called, One True Bread, he put in there like, during the Passover, you had to kill a lamb and use that lamb.
If the lamb was too big for a family, then you had to invite another family in to consume the lamb. It could not be wasted. It had to be consumed by this family or maybe another family. Well, like he expressed in his book, and if you want to get better reading of it, there's still some out there you can get. They're only $5 if you haven't yet ever gotten one. Like he explained, like Jesus, when Jesus was crucified, he was a perfect lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. He was too big for just one nation of people. That's why the Gentiles, the Samaritans, everyone else got invited in, because Jesus is too much just for one nation of people. I thought that was really good. And that's kind of, it even goes along with Acts 10 here. But I want to talk today about the two things that was mentioned right here in Acts 10, talking about Cornelius, that we must do if we want to live lives pleasing to Jesus Christ. If you want to please him, and as I'll call it a side factor or side note, thereby improving your life by pleasing him, because what you do for the kingdom of God and how you live your life is going to have a positive return on you. I'm not going to stand up here and preach prosperity to you. It's all about do everything to get something good in return. That's not what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach that we need to be about the Father's business in this time, this day and hour that we're living in, because it's what pleases him. If you truly want to please Jesus Christ, these couple of things that we're going to talk about today is what you can do in improving your life to please him. And I want to please him more and more. I want to please him more and more. So we're going to talk first about praying for others. Cornelius was a praying man, prayed to God always, and that's what we must do. But we don't pray for ourselves, and Lord, I sure need that new truck. Mine's 35 years old, and I've got to have it. It's got 300,000 miles, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord, I need this truck. I need to get a new one. Or, Lord, you know, I've been looking for that 10-ounce gold bar in the ground with that metal detector for so long, and I've not found it yet. Help me, Lord. Help me find that I'm looking for. No, we need to be praying for others. We need to be praying for other people. We need to be selfless and pray for someone else. If you want to just stir up your life, if you want to turn the tables upside down and really see the power of God moving in your life, then pray for someone else. When you know if someone else is sick, pray for them. You might be hacking up a lung yourself, but pray for somebody else that you know is sick. Hallelujah. And watch how big God turns out for you. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, and see what it says about prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks may be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now notice there he says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Pray for those who are in authority. Church, I can't think of a bigger group of people who needs more prayer than Washington, D.C. right now. Washington, D.C. needs some prayer, and I'm talking about the whole government up there. Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, whatever they call themselves, they all need, because in my opinion, the things that I see and hear, you try to keep up with what's going on with the country, because we need to know what's going on. But man, it just makes you scratch your head going, are they not including Jesus Christ at all in what they do up there? So we need to be praying for those who are in authority. What Apostle Paul told Timothy here, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Thank you, Lord. We may not be living quiet and peaceful because we're not praying for these. That's just what the Word said, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Maybe if we get down our knees a little bit longer in the morning or in the evening praying for those in authority, some things might change. Hallelujah. But let's go on to verse 3. For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. James 5 and 16.
Confess your trespasses to one another
and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It doesn't say the passive, mediocre prayer of a sinless man. No, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. That avails, you can just say it quite simply, it's got some power to it. It's got some power to it. When we're praying for others, when there's a situation that comes up, you know, sometimes we do fall short. We're not all perfect. We've said more than one time that coming to church is like coming to a spiritual hospital, because sometimes we do mess up. You know, sometimes, or you can call it acting up if you want to. Sometimes we just let the flesh has taken over, or we've given in to the flesh. Hallelujah. As what James said, sometimes we give in to flesh, but and sin is conceived. But we confess that, and then we have fervent prayer for one another that we can overcome that and get stronger through that process. We need to have some effective fervent prayer for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. When we pray fervently and effectively in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our own lives are going to be strengthened. Hallelujah. Because we're praying for someone else. Let's go to Job 42. Job knew something about how what a tormented life was, and had some friends that he thought was friends and gave him some bad advice about his telling, you know, things that he had must have done wrong for all of this to come up on him. But let's look at what God says here in Job 42, 7 through 10. Praise the Lord. I'd like to get it in my Bible too. 42, beginning at 7. And so it was, after the Lord who had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." Now bear in mind, Job has already repented and asked the Lord to forgive him. "Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering." This wasn't cheap right here. 7 bulls and 7 rams. They had to give a sacrifice. "Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him." Think about that. God said he would accept Job, "lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." Makes us think quite a bit about how strong that is, does it not? Verse 9, "So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamanite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job." Verse 10 said, "And the Lord restored Job's losses, and he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. That lets us know that we need to be praying. A righteous, kingdom-minded people need to be praying for our friends and for those around us, because the Lord accepts those who are doing what's right. We're not just self-righteous. We're trying our best to do what is right in His eyes. When we talk about fearing the Lord, we're fearing the Lord. We're trying to obey His word. We're doing our best. Hallelujah. And sometimes you're going to have family and friends that's not exactly doing right, and they need you. They depend on you praying for them. They may not come right out and say it. They may not ask for prayer, because they may not even realize they messed up. Job's friends may not even realize that they had messed up and how they had given him wrong advice. It took the Lord telling them, "Get them 7 rams and 7 bulls and ask Job to pray." Hallelujah. Because he would accept Job's prayer. Hallelujah. And that's what happened. Glory to the name of the Lord. So we need to be selfless and pray for others. Pray for others. Let's think less about ourselves and more about other people. Hallelujah. Glory to you. And number 2, we need to have a generous heart. That is what Cornelius had. He had very much a generous heart. His word said in verse 2 of chapter 10 that he gave alms generously. Gave alms generously. So it takes a generous heart. Listen to this little short story of an unauthored person that I come across. I thought it was very good. A wise woman who was traveling in the mountains found a precious stone in a stream. The next day, she met another traveler who was hungry. The wise woman opened her bag to share her food. The hungry traveler saw the precious stone and asked the woman to give it to him. She did so without hesitation. The traveler left rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew that he could go the rest of the year with this fortune that he had in this stone. But a few days later, he come back to return the stone to the woman. He said, I've been thinking. I know how valuable the stone is, but I want to give it back in the hope that you give me something even more precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me something more precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me the stone. That is a very good little short story. When we begin to look far less at how we can advance and how we can have, you know, just riches or building wealth. And I'm not going to say that there's anything wrong necessarily in building wealth, but we have to be extremely cautious about it. Because number one, whatever we need, Jesus is going to supply our needs. We don't have to worry about working one, two jobs, trying to fulfill a 401k that is probably not going to be there anyway. But, you know, and if it is there, because of who's up in Washington, D.C., is going to make the tax rate so high on it, you might do good. I mean, the Lord takes care of our need. And so we don't need to be so concerned about if it comes our way, we don't need to hide it and bogart it. There's going to be different ones, you know, time and time again that you can help. The Lord's not expecting you to be everything to everybody, but He is expecting you to be generous with what He has given you. Because a very wise man once told me that it all belongs to the Lord. It's all His. It's not yours. Your bank account is not yours. What's in it does not belong to you. Your house, your car, does not belong to you. This building does not belong to this church. It belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to Him. Land belongs to Him. The land that's back here, the land of the children of Israel, the Lord God gave it to whom He willed because it belonged to Him. He was the creator of that land in Canaan. And those who wasn't following Him and had false gods, He saw fit to remove them off the land. So even land is going to be taken away from those who don't honor God and given to those who will. That's what happened with this country, in my opinion. It was taken from those who had it and given to those who were seeking a place to worship God. And now we're falling behind from putting God first in this country. And I say woe to the Americans who do not put God first in your life. Hallelujah. What you have can easily be taken away from you. Hallelujah. So we have to have a generous heart. Hebrews 13 and 6. But do not forget to do good and share with such sacrifices God is well pleased. But do not forget to do good and to share. It's very important for us to share. Share what we have monetarily. Share what's inside of us. That Holy Spirit. There is a lost and a lost people out there that has no clue about Jesus Christ. You know, there was a long time that I was thinking everybody has always heard of Jesus Christ, who He is, about the crucifixion. There's so many people, they've heard it. Everybody knows it. So there, you know, there's not really any need, because as soon as you bring up Jesus, they're going to, you know, start shutting you down and putting you off. But I'm finding more and more how wrong I was. There's a lot of people who's not who's not heard it, or maybe they've just heard the name Jesus, but they've not been shared an experience that they realize and know they could have a personal relationship with Him. And we need to be willing to share what we have with the world that don't have that personal relationship with Him. They're hurting. They're out there lost. They're out there basically living a life for the devil, not even realizing they're living their life for the devil, because there's only two options and choices. You either knowingly worship Jesus Christ, or you might unknowingly just be worshiping the devil, and he's just like a puppet master to you, pulling your strings. There's only two choices. Hallelujah. But do not forget to do good and to share. Share what we have. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Now that's strong right there, isn't it? The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. I say again, have a generous heart to please Jesus Christ. Maybe, you know, Jesus ain't asking you to be everything to everybody. But like the Word says, he who waters will himself be watered. Water your neighbor with Jesus. Water them with a helping hand sometime. Water them with something. If there's a finance you know that you can help with. Whatever the case may be, we can be doing that to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the last verse I have for us this afternoon is 1 John 3 and 17. If the others didn't smack you upside the head, this one will. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Hallelujah. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? We don't have the love of God abiding in us if we turn a blind eye to those who are in need. We don't have the love of God as we need. God is love, and that we can share that love with those who need it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand this afternoon. Praise the name of the Lord. Selfless. We need to be less about ourselves today and more about the kingdom of God, more about others. And in return for that, Jesus is going to take care of every need that we have. There's not a need or situation you will ever go through. I don't care if you feel like you're the poorest person that there's ever been. There's no way in the world you can help. You can help some way, I promise you. Seek the Lord and He'll show you how that you can help. But we need to be selfless so that He will in turn increase our lives. I want to be closer to Him. I want to please Him just like Cornelius pleased Him. Hallelujah. I want to please Jesus Christ. If you need prayer for anything today, we are here to pray with you as they play. Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Well, Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though spirits humble. Lord, help my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for you. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But best of all, he is my coming king. Will Jesus use me? Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Jesus, hallelujah.